Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Chwaba.
Hello, Wisconsin. What a night. What a big night. A Tuesday in early June in Wisconsin. That's a big night to me, folks. I hope it is for you, too. I hope you had a great day. Great to have you join me here at Nightlight tonight. This is a really big night for a lot of reasons. It's a Tuesday in June. And you probably think it doesn't get better than that, a Tuesday in June in Wisconsin. But this is a special night because Nightlight has not been complete for the last 2.5 weeks. But tonight, live from our studios here at City Deck Landing in downtown Green Bay, as we broadcast statewide over the Civic Media Radio Network, Conrad Krieger returns from Italy. Welcome
yes.
back, Conrad.
Thank you.
How are you?
I am tired.
Are you? Yeah.
The jet lag is a beast.
All right. We'll get in. Let's talk a little bit about your trip. That's so long to be gone.
Yeah. It felt like a very long time.
That's good.
The last 4 days I was like, it's really cool to be out here, but man, I could use my bed right now.
Yeah. No kidding. And yeah. No matter where you go, it's always good to have your own bed. Well, that's awesome. And safe trip. That's the important thing. You got there safely. You got back safely. You took a cruise. We'll hear all about that. We'll hear some snippets tonight. If Conrad can stay awake through tonight's show, we'll hear some snippets, and then we'll get a little more in depth tomorrow night.
Yes.
Because there was some discrepancy about when you were coming back. And I think you thought you had another day. So not only are you working when you're tired, you're like probably going, God, I could be watching Nick at Night right now or something.
Actually, it's just doing laundry.
Oh, yeah. How much stuff do you bring to Italy for 2.5 weeks?
I had 3 bags.
Really?
I had a huge, like, rucksack?
Yeah.
It was massive. I'll never use that again, though, because I couldn't, like, use the wheels, you know? I just had a backpack the whole time. And it was, like, 44 pounds. So I had that,
hilarious.
And then I had a backpack, and then I had like a strap bag, you know, sling bag. Yeah. So I had a lot of luggage.
Dude, that's fantastic. That's a lot of stuff, man. And you went with 3 other people, right? Just your immediate family?
No, I actually went with, 14?
Oh, 14 people?
Yes. Yep.
Who's footing the bill for that? Everybody go Dutch treat?
Yep.
Okay. That's not too bad.
Yeah, I went with my immediate family and then my brother's wife, my sister-in-law, side of the family too, which she is a bigger family than I do.
Gotcha. Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to open the show. We'll hear a little bit more about, he'll give us a teaser in the second segment about his trip to Italy, and we'll maybe dive in more depth. And he saw quite a few movies, you told me, on the flight back, which is.
I did.
And one you thought was terrible. We'll discuss that too. So don't go anywhere, folks. Good to have you back, buddy. So, yeah, we got a really fun show tonight. I gotta be honest. This is one of those days it was so beautiful out. I had trouble like putting the show together. I just wanted to keep taking walks. But we managed to put together a pretty good show. We got Ben Reiser coming in at 7:35. Ben was here last week, and he and I started down the road of summer blockbusters. And we, as usual, Ben likes to talk movies. I like to talk movies. I like to talk movies with Ben. So we only made it about halfway through. So he's going to come in for a couple segments at 7:35. He said he saw Furiosa again, and he has kind of a new take on it. So we'll get that, and then we'll continue talking about some summer films and find out what Ben is watching on TV. And then in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:20, David Patterson, the producer of Bridge to Terabithia and the writer and producer of Bridge to Terabithia, has a new movie out called The Girl Who Wore Freedom. And it's playing in theaters, I believe, this week, and you can stream it. And it's done very well at festivals. And David is a phenomenal filmmaker. So we'll talk to him at 8:20 and a heck of a guy. His mom, you guys might remember this if you're regular listeners. We had David on about 3 months ago. His mom wrote the story, the book, which is a Newbery Award winner, The Bridge to Terabithia, based on David's life, which is really fascinating to me. To have a book written about you, I can't even imagine what that's like, but he's a really good dude. He'll be here at 8:20. And today is National Cheese Day, so that's exciting for cheese eaters. And National Hug Your Cat Day. I got to tell you, I'm not a cat guy. I wasn't sure if I wanted to put that on the list or not because I don't want to go negative, but I'm allergic to cats. I don't find them very useful. I guess if you just like to pet something on your lap and you don't want a lap dog, a cat is good. Cat lovers love their cats. If you're a cat person, feel free to text and tell me why cats are so great. Convince me I'm wrong. Allergies aside, I don't hate cats, though. I'm not one of those guys. I do react horribly to them. But tell me why you love your cat. That's a good thing to do. And we got some great birthdays this week. Big-time creep Russell Brand turns 48. We celebrated Keith David's birthday last night with a little clip from Something About Mary, the Franks and Beans clip, which was fun. And Morgan Freeman turns 86 this week. Two of my favorite actors, actually. Morgan Freeman is great. He's 86. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Morgan Freeman film or role? The first time I was exposed to him was on The Electric Company when I was a kid, and I would watch Sesame Street. He was a cast member for The Electric Company, and he became a full-blown Oscar-nominated movie actor. I don't think that happens very often. But he's just got that iconic voice, a very gentle kind of demeanor, very likable. So my favorite Morgan Freeman role has to be Shawshank Redemption. Loved him in Driving Miss Daisy. Liked him a lot in Lean on Me. And I like him a lot as Lucius Fox in the Batman films. But it has to be Shawshank Redemption. So what is your favorite Morgan Freeman film or role? That's tonight's question. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We have had so many great texts over the last couple nights, or over the last week or so, I would say. I love when people get involved. If you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app yet, please do so. It's so easy to use and so easy for you to contact us throughout the course of the show. Nightlight is on statewide, so you can access it by way of any of the local stations and just click the text icon. So fire away and be part of the show. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. Got some news about a remote coming up at the Minocqua Brewing Company on East Wash, and that'll be fun. I think I'll be down there next Friday. We're solidifying some details. So if you're in the area, stop on out. Tonight's question, what is your favorite Morgan Freeman movie? Another great birthday this week. Brian Cox from Succession and just tons of, you know, he was very funny in a movie called The Long Kiss Goodnight, too. He played like a CIA handler. My favorite Brian Cox films, I don't know if I would say films. My favorite Brian Cox role was in the film Manhunter, which came out in 1986. Dennis Farina was in it. William Peterson was in it. William Peterson was like this great Chicago stage actor from the Remains Theater Company. And he got a role in To Live and Die in L.A., which is a phenomenal movie. And it's actually hard to find. I think you can finally stream it now because I did just watch it, say, about 3 months ago. So I don't even know where I streamed it from. But great film. And then he did his other big theatrical role was in Manhunter. And he played opposite Dennis Farina and Brian Cox. Brian Cox, Hannibal Lecter. And I know I've mentioned this to one of my guests on this show at some point, but Brian Cox, in my opinion, acted circles around Sir Anthony Hopkins. I don't think Brian is a sir, but he still out-acted Anthony Hopkins in the role of Hannibal Lecter. So creepy. We'll hear a couple of those scenes later. And yeah, some great releases too on this day. The Wire, maybe the greatest TV show. I don't know if it's the greatest TV show ever. I've watched the entire series twice. And it's about, I think it's about seven seasons. And then I watched other seasons sporadically. Such a great show. And I don't know if it's the best ever, but I will say over the last 10 years, when I hear people talk about what is the best show ever, The Wire gets mentioned probably more than anything. And I had Maggie Dawn on the show last week, who talked about how much she liked The Wire. So if she ever comes back on Nightlight, we're going to have that discussion. Got a scene from The Wire 2 tonight that we'll play. I have to, I got to get something off my chest too. I don't know if this is, how much time do we have, Conrad?
We got 2 minutes.
2 minutes? I don't know. It's not really even to get anything off my chest. I went through the drive-thru and I have never felt like a bigger idiot in my life. And it's only because of me. You know, everybody complains about people in the drive-thru not being that bright, giving you the wrong order. Yes, that happens a lot. You get the wrong order almost every time. But this was just me being a dope. And I'll say that when we come back, I think. But you ever do that, Conrad? And you know what made me think of it today was I went through a drive-thru last night and the girl like said something to me like she was a waitress. She's like, now, do you want pepper? When have you ever been offered pepper randomly at a drive-thru? Like you usually have to ask for salt, which is the more popular of the two seasonings, I would say. She just went right for pepper. Now, did you want pepper with that? It's like a burger and fries. I was like, sure. And I wouldn't have asked for it, but I said, yeah, throw in some pepper. You pepper your fries, Conrad?
If it's there, I will pepper my fries. It does taste better with pepper.
I agree. But you don't go the extra mile to ask for pepper.
No, I never do that.
Right. Certainly not without asking for salt. No one just asks for pepper, I don't think.
Yeah.
Tell me why you love your cats, folks. We got people coming in on the stream. See, cat lovers are very territorial, like cats. They love their cats. So I want to hear why you love your cat. I'm allergic. I don't like to be around cats. But tell me why they're so great. Tell me why I should love them. And I'm going to tell my drive-through story next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Welcome home, Conrad, buddy.
Thank you.
You're back. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You, babe, don't know where I'd be. You're not just another lover, no, you're everything to me. Every time I'm with you, baby, I can't believe it's true. When you lay it in my arms,
Jim, watching on the stream, says, I love my cats because they are very cuddly when I feel down. Also, they do a great job of being self-sufficient when work sends me away for a few days. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Clean litter, self-filling food and water dishes. Good to go for 5 days. Yeah, that's a pretty good pet to have, I guess, Jim. You can't beat a good cuddle either. You a pet guy, Conrad?
Yeah, definitely am. I don't have any, but...
But you like them?
I had a cat growing up.
So you're a cat person?
No.
No.
I won't own a cat.
All right.
But I want to get a dog. Black lab.
Does your apartment complex allow you to have dogs?
They do.
Oh, that's cool.
It adds an extra $100 to my lease.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. So I'm waiting to get a bigger property anyways, you know. It's too small to have a dog in there.
It adds like $100 to your rent and then all the food. Like dogs aren't cheap either. If you go away, like you go to Italy for 2.5 weeks and leave a dog somewhere, it's going to cost you $1 million.
Yeah. You'll need to do the extra, like, well, I know this person's going to be in the US. I'll pay you to take care of my dog.
You can house sit. Exactly. So, all right. And then Craig checking in on the stream too, says Morgan Freeman as Red in Shawshank Redemption was absolutely brilliant. I am with you, Craig. That is my my favorite Morgan Freeman role as well. Craig says, welcome back, Conrad. I think, you know, the guy is just, he's like, went through that phase too where he was like in everything. But he's so good. Like, he's an asset to every movie. No one has ever watched a film and said, oh, Morgan Freeman's in it. Not this guy again. People love him. Kind of the same way with Samuel Jackson, because those two guys, I compare them because they both hit the scene around the same time, maybe Morgan Freeman a little bit sooner, actually. But, and then all of a sudden, they were both in everything. Both great actors. And Samuel Jackson is more, he's more like, not nails on a chalkboard, but Morgan Freeman's just so mellow. All right, so here's my story, Conrad. You ready for this?
I am.
So sometimes I try to do too much. I'm sure we all do that. I can get one more call in before I do this, or I can stop by here and do that before I have to be at this appointment. And I make myself crazy. So I went to the Culver's drive-thru one day to pick up some food for my daughter. While I'm in the drive-thru, I'm on the phone. I get up to the speaker, and I thought I ordered, but I didn't. So I got to the window, and I'm like, she hands me my food, and it's the person behind me because I didn't order. It's the person behind me's food. So I'm like, hey, I didn't order this. I just had like a hamburger and a small fry. And she's like, oh, we don't have any. They had no order for that. So basically what I did is I sat in this stupid drive-through line, distracted on the phone for 40 minutes, never ordered somehow. And then I got up to the window and felt like a total idiot. And the manager comes over. He's like, sir, we don't have your food. I said, oh, you know what? I go, I must have been on the phone. Can I just order now? And he goes, he's so condescending. He goes, no, typically what we do is you'll drive up to the speaker, you'll order at the speaker, and then you'll pick your food up here. Like, you want to feel like a dope? Let a crew chief at fast food talk down to you. And he was absolutely right. I was just, my head was so far, you know where. I'm just like, yeah, I know. I've been to this Culver's 1,000 times. I know the drill. And they wouldn't let me do it again. So I had to go back, sit in the drive-thru again.
Did you order that time?
I did. Yeah. Fool me once.
There you go.
Oh, it was brutal though. Absolutely terrible. So you said you watched. All right. So give us a couple highlights, Conrad.
Yeah, I mean, the coolest thing I think was I went to a lot of places on the cruise. I went to a couple islands, Santorini, near Greece, and then the Mykonos Islands.
Nice.
Malta, which was my favorite place.
That's supposed to be beautiful.
Oh, it was.
Was it?
Oh, my God. I was there the whole day pretty much because it was a long day there. I think it was about 8 hours, 9 hours you could be on the island.
Oh, okay.
And we just walked around. We didn't really have any excursions planned. We just walked around there. Oh, it was beautiful.
Did you happen to see Equalizer 3?
No.
It's shot in the, is it the Amalfi? What's the name of that coast in Italy? Maybe it's the Amalfi Coast. I don't know. But it is so gorgeous. Like the scenery, the cinematography. It's all these homes on a hill.
Yeah.
Overlooking the ocean and this bay. Oh, mm-hmm. My. It was stunningly beautiful.
So the, on Santorini, when you, where the cruise ships port, you have to go up this massive, like, hill.
Okay.
And you can either take a lift up there or you can take the stairs. And the stairs is about, I think it was like 500-something stairs, and it winds all the way up. So we were like, okay, we're not going to do that. We waited in line for almost 2 hours to get to that lift because there's only three.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, there was, I think, 5 cruise ships ported that day. So there were so many people.
So how long would it have taken you just to walk? I mean, I know it's a lot of steps, but, like, 500 steps is probably, like...
It probably would have been shorter to do that.
Right.
But going up, well, we were like, no, we don't want to do that. We went down, though.
Okay.
And I won't forget, they have donkey transportation going all the way up.
Wow.
So
But that's up a hill, right? Not up the steps, right?
Well, no, no. Okay. It's up the steps, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
So all the steps are pretty much just covered in...
donkey excrement?
Yes. So you have to, like, be cautious when you're going down the steps. Yeah. And, yeah. So, I mean, by the time I got down, though, my legs were shaking.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I think even going down
is
brutal when you're looking at 500 steps.
And we did a full day, too, as well up there.
Jeez. And but, you go up, your legs are shot for, like, 2 days after that.
But it was beautiful there, too.
That's so cool. Would you ever live there?
No.
No.
No. No, I don't think I could.
Not without an elevator.
I mean, they need to put one in there.
So you saw a movie too on the plane. You said it was horrible. And I think you've told me what it was, but I want you to tell the listeners because my daughter has seen this film like 5 times.
It was Anyone But You with Sydney Sweeney. And it was awful. It was terrible.
And Glenn Powell. They're like the power couple of Hollywood right now.
They can't make a movie together. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
It was, I don't think it was greatly acted either. It was, oh my, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just so bad.
It's so weird because my daughter would come up and go, I'd say, what do you do? She said, we went to see Anyone But You again. I'm like, what? Like, basically, what? They pay $6 for the early show or whatever it is, or $8, and they go in and talk. And the movie is just like background. So they admit it's terrible, but I'm like, why don't you go to a coffee shop?
Yeah.
Not pay, right? Not encourage more of that kind of movie making.
You can just like talk outside, you know?
right, exactly. 920, Jim from Appleton says, Morgan Freeman in Reds. Yes, it's an excellent and funny movie. Forgot about that movie. I don't even know if I saw that all the way through. That's a good one, Jim. What's your favorite Morgan Freeman movie? Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ben Reiser joins me coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, here's a pretty cool thing. It's a pretty cool thing we got going on here at Civic Media. It's our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. There is one winner per hour. And great prizes, Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club Level seats. Club Level's good, right, Conrad?
Those are fantastic seats.
Okay. So club, you know, that can sound like whatever. Grand prize, unique summer staycation getaways complete with gas to get there and back. Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake. This is the grand prize, by the way. Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake, Lake Geneva stay at Harbor Shores, and a Door County stay, the Ridges Inn and Suites. I will take all three of those. This hour's keyword, text in when you hear it, is picnic. Right, Conrad?
It is picnic.
You and I have never taken a picnic. Do you realize that?
I think we should definitely do that.
We got to look into that. All right. So coming up at 8:20, David Patterson will be here to discuss his new movie, The Girl Who Wore Freedom. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He and I started our summer blockbuster movie extravaganza contest. I'm looking at the text line. Discussion last week, and we got cut off as we usually do because Ben is so much fun to talk about movies with. I had to have him back, and he joins us now here on Nightlight. Hey, Ben.
I think it's more like I don't know when to shut up. So
well,
that's the yeah.
But that makes for good radio. The more you talk, the more people listen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Well, I have listen. But yeah, no, I like what you have to say. Hey, all right. So before we get into some other stuff we didn't get to last week, you said you saw Furiosa again, and you have kind of a new take.
Well, not so much a new take, but I liked it even more the second time. I mean, I really thought it was great when I saw it the first time. Then I saw it. I was in Chicago over the weekend, and they've got some fancy theaters there that have these Dolby auditoriums where like every seat seems to have its own subwoofer that kind of just rumbles every time the engines start up in Furiosa. And they also have laser digital projectors, which are sharper and more contrasty, and the blacks are like super black. So it looked even better than the IMAX version that I saw in Madison the week before. And I'm planning on going back again tomorrow night because there's so there, you know, the thing about Furiosa, it's so dense. There's so much stuff going on. There's so many characters, so many details, so many little plot things that you wouldn't necessarily pick up on the first time. And I felt like, oh, wow, I got so much more out of it this second time. And I'm excited to go back. Somebody's got to keep seeing this movie because no one else is.
How about going, that? Apparently. I don't get that. Garfield surpassed. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't understand it either, Ben. What theater in Chicago did you see it at?
The AMC, is it River East,
River North,
River something.
River North, probably. Nice.
River North.
You know, I had a guest on last week, Craig Kinnett, who told me that there's a shot in the movie where it's supposed to be Mad Max.
Yes.
I missed that. I thought it was the guy that was driving the truck with her who kind of looks like Mel Gibson.
Yeah, who we affectionately call Fat Max.
Did you say that last
week?
We're
going to get canceled for that. But he's kind of like a chubby.
Yeah.
Chubby. That guy played, I forget the actor's name, Jim Burke, maybe? Tom Burke. He played Orson Welles in a Richard Linklater movie.
There you go. So yeah. I thought that was him standing on the cliff next to the Interceptor car from.
Yeah.
I must have missed
that. By the way, I don't want to spoil the movie, but it can't be that character that you're thinking of. It is Mad Max. And somebody told me that after the first time we saw it, and they were like, oh, did you see Mad Max? And I said, no. But I saw it in the end credits that somebody is playing Mad Max. And I'm like, where was Mad Max in that movie? But I did see him that second time. I mean, it's literally just one shot.
Yeah.
He's looking over a cliff and he's watching her do something.
Where do you think that's supposed to be in the Mad Max story, though? Obviously, it's the Road Warrior times because it's after the grid went or the gas got used up and everything.
We could talk all night about timeline for the Mad Max movies, but the truth is, I don't think you're supposed to. I don't think you're really supposed to figure out some overall timeline. I think these are all just kind of stories within that universe, and I don't think George Miller cares about continuity so much, except between Furiosa is clearly a prequel to Fury Road. So I'm hoping in a year or so they'll come out as a double feature and you can go to the theater and watch them both in a row. And I think they would work perfectly. But trying to figure out where Mad Max is in his timeline between these movies and the first three movies, I think is a losing proposition, one that I don't think George Miller ever really cared to figure out.
Yeah, probably not. Is this movie less like of a spectacle than Fury Road? Like, I remember.
I thought it was. I did think it was. And I think that there's a lot of talk about how it doesn't really end with a huge action chase climax involving everything. But honestly, watching it a second time, I was like, no, this is pretty much just as epic as Fury Road. It's true. It's got a different kind of an ending and it's got sort of a one-on-one climax, just two people having to deal with each other as opposed to, but there's at least four major action sequences in this movie that are as wild or even better. I want to say there's one chase scene. It's kind of in the middle of this movie that I think is better than anything in Fury Road.
It's kind of that one right in the middle, the big one that was got all this hype from. It took them like 78 days to film it or something like that.
Oh, is that? Yeah, I don't know. At a certain point, I got to stop reading all the.
Yeah, it's when they roll out that truck for the first time, I think. And it's that first trip, the truck goes out. Yeah,
it's that one, and they've got that new device in the back of it that spins those balls.
Yes.
And she, it's where she's proving herself to what we affectionately call Fat Max. It's like her first trip with him. She's stowed away on this thing. She's not even supposed to be there. And she takes care of all kinds of business. That is an amazing. If there was no other action in the movie, it would be worth it just for that sequence.
And it was a cool relationship too between the two of them. I loved the. And what I was going to say is like Fury Road, it is more of a spectacle. But you're right, the stunts in this, and I would say this moves faster because once this thing starts, it never stops. And last week I said I thought if there was a weak link, it was Chris Hemsworth. But there's not a weak link. And you said you thought it was Furiosa, Anya Joy. Right. Do you still feel that way on second viewing?
I don't. I think what it is about Anya Taylor-Joy, I think that my problem with her, and I don't have one anymore, but I think that the first girl that plays Furiosa for the first 45 minutes of the movie is so great that I kind of want to stay with her for the whole movie. Like, I don't want her to grow up. I just want a full 3 hours with her at that age. And so when she turns into Anya Taylor-Joy, I'm kind of sad to see that actress go, because she is so good at I don't think she has, I think she maybe has one line in the movie. But she is so terrific at acting with her eyes and with her face. And Anya Taylor-Joy is totally fine. I just kind of miss that girl once she's out of the picture.
It was interesting. I leaned over and I'm like, when is Anya Taylor-Joy? Like, they look very similar. I thought there was some computer generated stuff or something, and they made her big. Like, that's how much I thought they looked alike. But let's, have we talked about Fall Guy?
No. But we can.
Let's do it. What did you think about The Fall Guy?
It feels like a distant memory now. it was the sort of lead-off blockbuster this summer.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember thinking, this is perfectly fun and fine. That director is the guy who's done a bunch of the... I know he was the co-director of the original John Wick, and I think he's been involved with some of the other John Wicks, or else some of those other... Those two guys sort of have cornered the market on that particular brand of John Wick action. This is not a John Wick movie. I thought it was perfectly fine and funny. I'd never watched The Fall Guy, the TV series with Lee Majors. So I didn't have any nostalgia about that intellectual property, as they call it. But I thought it was perfectly fine. I didn't rush out to see it again. I will check it out again when it arrives on streaming platforms. What did you think of it?
You know, I thought it should have been a little smarter with those two actors, and especially Emily Blunt. And I thought there was like a whole Gross Point Blank moment when she's talking to him through the megaphone about their relationship, holding up the movie set of the $1 billion movie. And then at that, I had an issue with. And then when she sang the song from Against All Odds at karaoke, like, they're in the middle of shooting her first feature film and they find like 7 hours to karaoke one night. And she sings the song, and they like cut to him twice fighting the bad guy, but mostly it was her singing. And I'm like, it reminds me of, I co-wrote a movie years ago called A Guy Thing. When they hired Julia Stiles to play the lead, her note to MGM was she wanted her character to work odd jobs. So the other writers, we had been replaced. The other writers wrote in, she's working at a toll booth and a record. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And I almost feel like this had that sort of extraneous thing, like, I'd like to sing a song in this, you know, and they just did it. And the movie just didn't make sense. I don't know if it should be totally schlocky or if we were supposed to take it seriously. It didn't really do it for me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was confusing for a while to figure out who the bad guy was, which I know they sort of, it's kind of a mystery. You're not supposed to know what's going on until halfway through, but I just, it wasn't enjoyable to sort of have to sit through the first half and figure out where are our sympathies supposed to lie? What is the plot of this movie? But you know, I thought it went by fine. There's been plenty of summer blockbusters that have come and gone that I was less entertained by.
It's kind of sad. You can't even really call it a blockbuster. I mean, I guess it did okay, but the box office is so down, and I mean, I'm sure it'll come back, but I guess what I just read this week is they pushed a lot of what were going to be potential blockbusters this summer to next summer. So
really,
because of the writers and actors strikes,
that makes sense.
Yeah. To market them properly, they wanted more time. I hope that's the case. Otherwise, maybe movies and theaters are just going away. But, did you see, my guest, by the way, is Ben Reiser. He works for the Wisconsin Film Festival, and he is an absolute movie buff. It's nice to be a buff, Ben, wouldn't you say?
I wish I was buff.
I do too.
I saw two movies today, I went planning to see two movies. I saw the new Viggo Mortensen Western.
Oh, how is that?
It's pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good. I recommend it. The Dead Don't Hurt, which I don't recommend as a title. That's almost as bad as a title as my favorite movie this summer, In a Violent Nature, which I just can't.
That's better though. This one I couldn't. I read the article by Rob Thomas, where he reviewed the film. And 3 days after, I was like, is it Don't Hurt the Dead? Is it Dead Don't Hurt? Right. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
And then I was going to see Babes.
Yeah.
You know this comedy with Alana Glazer from Broad City, directed by Pamela Adlon. Is that how you say her last name?
I don't know.
Who I usually find very funny. She was on that Louis C.K. show before that got canceled. And she has her own TV series that she writes and directs and I think stars in. I can't remember what it's called, though. Anyway, I could only take it for like 15 minutes. I was like, I got to get out of this theater.
Babes?
It was so bad, yeah.
Wow.
Like so painfully unfunny and so desperately trying to be funny, but in this kind of Judd Apatow, like more woke than the wokest woke thing, which I'm usually fine with, but sure. This was just like, okay, I can't.
A little over the top.
Over the top, but like, you know, I'll take over the top if it's funny. Like,
sure.
I saw that movie, was it earlier this year called Bottoms?
Which I didn't see that. Kind of like,
yeah, that was, and I think that's on streaming now.
Okay.
That one I liked a lot. And I was hoping this would be more of that kind of action.
Kind of forgot about that one. And I want to see the Viggo Mortensen one too. Did you stream that or is that, that's in theaters, right?
That's in theaters.
Okay.
I don't know for how long. You know, some of these things don't even last a week these days.
All right. So have you seen Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes?
Wait, my shirt. I'm wearing a Planet of the Apes t-shirt here.
I thought that was a Sasquatch Sunset shirt at first.
Yeah, no, that I didn't see, but I missed that.
Discuss that next. Did you see the film or?
Yes, Kingdom, yes.
Yeah, all right. We'll talk about Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes coming up next with Ben Reiser hanging out here at Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Get in on the Scani. Scani, help me out, Conrad. Scani Summer Giveaway, that's what it is.
There you go.
Great prizes, phenomenal grand prizes. Keyword is picnic. Text it in and be eligible for. There's a winner every hour, I believe, which is pretty cool. We are not eligible. Conrad, stop texting.
Sorry.
Hey, Ben, can I read you my quick thumbnail review of Bad Boys 4?
Have you seen it?
Let me read the review.
Okay.
Bad Boys 4, semicolon, yes, 4, hits theaters June 6th. The film stars once likable actors Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. The story is predictable and cliche, and I give it 2 thumbs down. I will give more details after I see the film.
Nice.
You almost derailed my joke there.
Did
you see it?
I'm so sorry.
No.
The coming attraction or trailer, as they say, maybe 12 times now. Cause every time I go see a movie, that's the first thing that hits the screen.
Yeah.
But the first 7 times that I saw it, I was convinced despite having seen it already that it was not actually a coming attraction, but it was just a commercial for a bunch of movie theater candy. Because the first scene in that coming attraction, they walk into like a 7-Eleven and there's so much product placement.
Yeah.
Like it's beyond belief. It's like a close up of a Skittles, a close up of a Snickers bar. And I'm like, this can't be a scene from this movie, can it?
Wow. Yeah. No kidding.
It is, I guess.
That doesn't surprise me at all, though. I've heard a lot of friends that saw sneak previews that said it's absolutely terrible. I don't want to base my opinion on theirs, but when enough people say it, I guess, it could be the case. All right. So Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
I saw it. I, the CGI is amazing, but at some point my wife and I were like, we're just watching apes. Like it was so odd. Yeah. I don't know if that's my genre, but it was really well done. What did you think?
Well, I, at the ripe old age of maybe 6 years old, my grandparents took me to see Conquest of the Planet of the Apes on its original release. And apparently that was 1971. So, I mean, I was too young, I think, to see that. But it hooked me on Movies for Life. It was my gateway drug.
Nice.
And it got me obsessed with that whole series. And then they used to, you know, when they brought out a new chapter in that original five movie franchise, they would do this thing called Go Ape, where they would show all the movies. Like, you could go to a movie theater and they would show Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Conquest, and then Battle for the Planet of the Apes. And so I did that, and that was my favorite movie franchise. Probably still is, but it was for a long, 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 long time. Then when Tim Burton came out with a remake of Planet of the Apes, I was excited for that, and I thought that was awful.
I forgot about that.
And then when this new reboot started with James Franco is in the first one, and it's this whole virus thing. And again, I was like, why are you messing with perfection? These movies were brilliant. They don't need a big reinterpretation. They don't need to be remade at all. But if they are, let's stick to the strengths.
Yeah.
Now this one, Kingdom, which is the fourth one of these, I guess. I kind of like the last one. I kind of like the third one, which was War of the Planet, some kind of riff. But this one, about a halfway through, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe this is really cool. Maybe they are redoing the original Planet of the Apes, but instead of from Charlton Heston's character's perspective, they're doing it from the apes' perspective, and that this woman, who they first call Nova, which is another, like, you know, name check for the original series, and then her name turns out to be May. Maybe she's this person who has time traveled from our past into this ape's future. And we're going to find that out only halfway through the movie. And I got really excited. Well, it turns out, no, they're still sticking to this whole dumb virus thing. And the humans are hiding underground or whatever's going on. I don't know. You're absolutely right. The CGI is mind-blowingly great. Yeah. The ape characters are full-blown characters. Magical. But everything about this series, to me, and I know a lot of people think it's great, I just find them terrible. I think they're garbage. But I mean, I'm totally biased because I practically have Planet of the Apes tattooed on me.
Somewhere. That was like a red herring you did there. I thought you were going to, you kind of fishtailed at the end. This is garbage. It was weird. Like the human became like the main character. It was like halfway between the movie. We didn't even see her till like 30 minutes into the movie.
I don't know. And then William H. Macy. Why that was
weird. Yes. Yeah, that was weird too. Hey, Ben, I watched over the weekend Alien and Aliens. Have you seen those recently or have?
Yes, I have. We showed Aliens at Cinematheque a couple years ago.
Oh, nice.
A 35 millimeter print, which was great. An Alien I watched sometime in the last year or so because I did a podcast about it with Jim Healy, actually, where we talked about Alien. So where do you come down, Alien or Aliens? That seems to be like a thing. You have to pick which is the best movie.
Well, I would say Aliens because they're both, in a way, it's weird because Alien takes forever. It's like my son and I were talking about this, and it's like they're so proud of their effects for 1979. So they linger on these shots, and it just took forever. But then Aliens, we watched the next night. Nobody dies. I don't even think they see an alien until an hour into the movie.
Right.
I wanted to kill myself. I mean, I don't mind something that takes its time, but holy smokes, speed it up. It was crazy.
Okay. Well, I hear you that Alien is kind of deliberate and Aliens also has a lot. But my thing about Alien versus Aliens, I think by the end of Aliens, it's great. You know, in the second half of Aliens,
agreed.
Nonstop. But I also think it's got that first, you're right, an hour in sort of battle between all the military people and the aliens. And I think once you see that sequence once, you never really need to see it again. It doesn't have that rewatchability.
Right.
Everything about Alien, I feel like, let me see that scene again. When the thing comes out of the egg,
okay.
Let me see that scene again.
Yeah.
When it bursts out of his chest, let me see that scene again. Those are all great scenes that, as many times you see them, they still are great because the performances are great and the effects are shocking. Whereas Aliens is like sort of like, if you've seen it once, there's nothing really to go back to and get deeper on.
Great point.
That's my opinion.
Hey, we got about 30 seconds. I know you got to get out of here too. Do you have a favorite Morgan Freeman movie? Or performance?
What's yours?
I would say Shawshank.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I also like that first one, that what is it called? Street Smart, where he's a
Lean on Me?
No. Where he's a pimp and he's gonna
he gets into
a thing with Christopher Reeves, Superman. Chris Reeves plays a reporter and he's hanging out with Morgan Freeman, who's a pimp, but he's also a violent pimp, and he gets into trouble. Chris Reeves gets into trouble with Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman scary in a scary role.
I'm going to look for that. I'm going to IMDb that during the break. Thanks so much, Ben. So great as always, buddy. You got it. Have a great night.
Soon.
All right. Thanks. That's Ben Reiser. Check out all things Wisconsin Film Festival, Cinematheque, and check out some of the movies we talked about. Stay tuned for the news. This crack Civic Media news team coming up next. David Patterson in the second hour. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.